This is CliffCentral.com. Yeah, good morning, everybody. Ah, it's Tuesday. There seems to be a little bit of fog and mist on the roads all over Johannesburg and Pretoria, which means that people lose their minds. It's funny, hey, you know, a little bit of rain, a little bit of fog, a little bit of anything, and people go, ah, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do.
I do like the creep factor to it, though.
That's, yeah.
What?
Yeah, it is, because you can't really see what's going on.
Yeah.
Creeps like this kind of weather. Fog is the weather that creeps like.
Oh, and then you can do stuff and almost get away with it.
What are you planning?
See, thank you, Gareth.
What are you planning?
I'm not planning anything. Well, I'm just...
sounded like you
what
had a plan.
Could you
I'm
plan?
I'm just fantasizing about all the stuff you could do and get away with.
You are...
Ben is back. How was your little Cape Town sojourn?
Yeah, it was cool. It was very constructive, very fun. It was eventful.
Yes.
And being the extra day, it was, yeah, I feel pretty good.
I saw you, you sent me a clip of that pirate ship, that hideous,
that
disgusting pirate ship.
Vomit-ridden pirate ship. That yeah, you it's see always funny to see.
Whenever you
Which
go to
one?
The, when you go to the Grand Beach Cafe, then there's this pirate ship full of drunk people who,
drunk
they rent
people.
It. You rent this pirate, it's the most terrible thing.
But it seems to be full of drunken sailors slash pirates because they pull up to where everyone's having dinner and drinks. And then they just start shouting things. I couldn't quite make out because I don't speak pirate, but it sounded like get back to school and, you know, cover your books and stuff. So I don't know if they're now doing advertising as well, but it's just very odd.
But one day you'll learn how to speak pirate, Ben.
It's loads of fun.
Good. So 5 years, huh?
5 years with the same person. I love her more than ever. And it was great spending time with her.
That's lovely.
It was cool, yeah. It's cool. She gets back on Wednesday to a little surprise gift that I'm putting together for her, which I'll tell you about when she
obviously,
gets back.
Obviously, yeah, you don't want to tell her now.
I mean,
she listens.
Obviously listens to the show. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What's wrong, Sia?
I don't know. He's finding a way to make this about him.
No.
Right, go ahead.
Just,
that's weird.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying.
That's never happened.
You're interrupting my
He's
crying.
To find a way to make it about him.
You're interrupting
let's,
my
what,
crying.
Everybody stop what you're doing and watch, and let's see what happens.
I just was caught up on the line when you said it's been 5 years and you love her more than ever. So that's all.
Yeah, she's prettier than ever. She's funnier than
stop
ever.
Stop it. Stop.
And as Jane said on Instagram, you guys look lovely together.
Did Jane say that?
Jane actually said that on Instagram.
Jane,
Jane is a sweetheart once in a while.
You got a compliment out of Jane. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's quite something.
Wow.
Normally it's, Daniela, what are you doing with that guy? But no, it's actually...
Yeah.
Oh.
Usually there's no love lost with you and Jane. It's incredible. She can't believe that Daniela would be with Ben. She said that from the moment she met her. Anyway. All right, so there's quite a lot going on this morning. We're going to have a guy I met the other day when we interviewed David Beckham. His name is Ewan Gunn. And Ewan is the global whiskey manager and category training manager for Diageo Scotch Whiskies. Mm. That means he knows everything you need to know about whiskey. And if you've got any questions for him, you can WhatsApp us, or you can Telegram, you can WeChat, or you can call, and we'll put you on.
Please do ask him how he actually gets to have a job title like that.
Yeah,
it's quite a
title.
Yeah, what are the qualifications? Because I think put our livers together in this room and, you know, that's enough of an experience and evidence that we've frequented.
But you know, it's again, but it's like chemistry. It's not, you know, we drink whiskey or whatever in our spare time. He does it like a scientist would. He's picking up things that we're not. Mm. He's interested in, not from the point of view of let's do this socially. He's doing it. It's his business. So it kind of takes the love out of it a little bit if you think of, like, you compare your approach to whiskey to his. But we'll find out. I mean, I went on this incredible trip to Scotland probably 15 years ago now. And we stayed in this castle in Aberdeen.
Oh.
Well, near Aberdeen on the Spey River. And they had this library in the castle. And instead of books on the shelves, they had whiskies. So it was this huge big library in about a, not a very old, but a 150-year-old castle, and you could drink any whiskey you liked. And when you've got all of that, you don't feel the need to overdo it. Like, I'll try a little bit of this one tonight, then tomorrow I'll do this one. And we were there for a week, and I got to sample some of the best whiskies in the world. And look, by the end of it, I think I was a little bit more refined from a palate point of view, but I'm no aficionado.
You don't need to be that, Gareth. That's the great thing about this. I'm sure he'll reinforce this, that it's such a personal thing, you know, whether you want to mix things with it, whether you want to drink straight up, however you want to do it. But when I, cause I used to do what he did for brandy back in my misspent
youth. That's right.
And the thing about alcohol is, it's just so personal. So he still probably has a massive love for all these things. He still gets excited about tasting certain things.
Oh, absolutely. But it is also work. Your approach to it is different because it's science.
Yeah.
You know, you're interested in what kind of flavors you're picking up. You're interested in how the process of distilling the whiskey actually takes place. You're curious more about the details around it that the rest of us, when we buy a bottle of it, we don't really give a damn.
But there's also a lot to be said about drinking and not getting drunk.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because for him, it's pure. No, for him, it's purely about.
It's quite adult.
Yeah. Yes.
My O is the fact that I don't relate.
You know? Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing is, like, I also there are certain, like, I don't drink anything for, you know, entertainment purposes except tequila. You know that about me. So I'll, if I'm in the mood to get social and I'm in the mood to get a little tipsy, then I drink tequila. Anything else is kind of like an accompaniment to a meal, or it's just something to do while you're socializing, but I never overdo those. So I've never got drunk on anything but tequila, and I've only ever got to a certain level where I've never like thrown up from alcohol. I know it sounds ridiculous.
Yes. You haven't lived.
Yeah.
I know.
The overwhelming majority of people drink to get drunk.
You can learn so much from throwing up. You really do. It's because it's how you conduct yourself in public before, during, and after.
And
it's the actual science of it all. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, speaking of the science of it, it's actually the feeling of throwing up that I hate the most. That's the part that I can't
stand. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't say it's pleasant. I just say it's a massive experience.
I mean, we don't love doing it, but when the body needs to
purge,
evacuate.
Evacuate.
Oh,
Jesus. You imagine.
Oh, no, thank you.
Anyway, all right, so we're all back for the first time in a little while. Mubs is back, and Ben is back, and Sia's back, and I'm back. And we thought we'd just touch base and find out what's going on. And also see, by the way, did you hear those debating kids the other day?
On Friday?
Friday morning. Youngsters, yeah.
Yeah, we had some really, really smart kids come in here. They were doing this as part of something called Topolong and the Nelson Mandela Foundation. They're putting together an event, a one-off event where these debating champions. The funny thing is, like, this is what makes a great debater, is that you don't choose what your position is on a topic. So most of us are opinionated in that we feel, for example, we like the idea of social welfare. So we will always argue on the side of social welfare. If you're a debater and you get given the card that says you have to argue against it, you now have to rejig your original opinions and your personally held ideas so that you can argue effectively in the opposite direction. So you have to give up belief. This is where people always say, oh, well, I believe something, and therefore it imparts some kind of importance to it. It doesn't really. Your belief in something is completely inconsequential. And these debaters made me think again that if all of us were forced to take the opposite point of view on anything we regard as really important, like, let's say, for example, you are a massive religious rights person. You believe that someone is entitled to have their religion, to believe it, to practice it publicly, to not have to hide away with it, to be able to, you know, make it something that you live your life by, and I suddenly say to you, you have to now argue against that. Most people, their brains would fry, and they'd stop, and they'd kind of have to go into reverse gear, and then something would jam and they wouldn't work again. Something that guy can't. Jam. I don't believe that. As if their belief mattered. A great debater like these kids we met the other day, you get given that argument, you get given that assignment, and you get told you have to now argue against your own previously held and preconceived idea. And they do it. That's clever. That is mental exercise. You want to get your brain working? Take something you believe in.
Yeah, it's so true.
And figure out all the best arguments against that position. And take them seriously. Like, don't worry so much about what your parents used to teach you or what your religious teachers taught you or what your teachers taught you or what you believe to be true. Believe. I believe.
Nobody and cares. Apply that as well.
Yeah.
Because in rebuttals, you have to justify why you correct. So...
And if you don't go for it, if you don't actually understand your argument logically, sensibly, rationally, you can't then in the rebuttal deal with it properly. You're going to be like, and you'll find yourself fishing. But when you believe in something, it's so easy to justify it, even if you have no real rational reason to do so.
Did you ever do debating in school?
I think
Gareth debated his entire life with every kid in school.
No, I was actually never in a debating team. It's weird. I did like that stuff where you stand up and make speeches.
Public speaking. That?
Public speech.
Renting.
That really turned out well for me. Listen to you
I
now.
Thought about that. The thing that you talk about with the public, with the speaking. Oh, public speaking. Yes, that's the one. Debating, I should have got into. I think I would have enjoyed it. But, you know, that's essentially what happens in a courtroom.
Yes.
A great advocate is someone who can stand up and even argue the position they don't personally hold.
Now, well, I would also think a great payment at the end of the trial is what motivates them to.
That's why you're paying them because they're brilliant debaters. You're paying them because they're really good at pleading your case in the best possible way. But isn't that interesting? Because I often think like we stop short of really stretching our brains. And we do it because of ego and all kinds of other things. And if we in this country could figure out, because many of us, the biggest problem I think we have in South Africa, no kids are raised to be racist. No kids are raised to be sexist. No kids are raised to be little shits. Well, they might not end up that way, or they might end up that way, but it's usually the parents' fault along the way, which I know Ben feels strongly about. You know, the parents teach the kids, you know, don't trust a woman, don't behave like this to a certain kind of race, don't believe someone from India. It's ridiculous, but those are the things that kids learn early on and they get stuck in their heads, and it like it calcifies around that. And that's where you end up with people who have this idea about how the world works, which is just not right. They end up not trusting anything but themselves. And the thing about themselves that they trust is what their parents taught them.
Mm.
Not always good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not right, but it's also all we know.
Yeah, but I'm thinking we need to get a new means of understanding the world.
No, we probably do. But the fact of the matter is, you know, if you grew up having certain things passed on to you when you were a child, what are the chances that you're going to stop passing those same things on to your children?
Well,
it's an environmental thing, you know?
I think you have to be very conscious. And especially this is why it's a good thing to have kids when you've thought about it a lot. And you've really put a lot of effort in. Because you have to figure these things out. It's like there's a non-stop checklist. It just goes on and on and on. Of what you have to and what you shouldn't do. And that's again why it's so hard and complex to be a parent. But I think, for example, if generation after generation of people in your family have been just nasty people, and you decide we're not going to be nasty anymore, then you can stop it. Don't you think?
If you want to stop it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the point.
It's a big desire thing.
I would imagine you would want to. Like, I don't imagine there are a lot of people who want to carry on, like, racism. Mm. I haven't met them. I don't know what people go to sleep at night and go, I need to stand up for racism. I don't know one.
Yeah.
There's no one I can immediately say.
Well, that's great. You don't have any supremacists in your life.
No, well,
that's good.
Even yes. In public life, you know, I mean, there are all these wacky individuals who are kind of on the fringes of society, but I think they're probably outnumbered by psychopaths and serial killers anyway. Yeah, I reckon that.
We'll talk about the Sun City escapees later.
Yeah, that's scary. But don't you think there are more people who have relationship problems, for example, than people who have race problems? Of course, mm-hmm. Right? Of course, there are more people who have economic and financial issues than have a preoccupation with sexism. Of course.
Yep.
There are more people who are worried about filling their car every morning than think about how they're going to, you know, get back at the blacks or the whites or whatever it might be. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Yet we focus way more on the one than on the other. And perhaps that's part of how we need to change. It's just something I was thinking after those kids the other day. Actually wrote it down and thought, got to reflect on this. Anyway,
I'd love to pick their brains.
Well, I've invited them back, so we'll get them back here sometime soon.
Great.
I'd actually love to have a show where we do the debates.
Mm.
And then we can all do the exercise with them. A little bit later on, Kagiso Modupe will pop in as well. He's the actor and author, host of Unleashed on cliffcentral.com every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m., and you can catch him here this morning. We got a system here, a new sort of screen in the studio, which brings up all the...
Yeah, that's looking very fancy.
How does it work, though? See, I'm still trying to figure out, like, if someone sends me a message, does it come up over here?
Which, like, where it pops up? That side are the tweets.
Oh, and this side?
Those should be the WhatsApps.
Okay. So someone send me a... Because I've just refreshed. Refreshed. There's no need to say re. I've just refreshed, and I need to have a WhatsApp on here to see that it works. So just WhatsApp us, 0797482090. Let me see that the whole thing's going. And then yesterday, I thought about what Rich Mulholland said about stress.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
And how you can choose to be stressed.
Stress is a decision.
Or you can choose not to be stressed. It's not something that happens automatically. He said there are some instances and situations where you want to be stressed because it motivates you. Like if you're being chased by a wild animal, or someone sets you on fire, that creates stress. But he said when things are out of your control, like you've got a plane that you've missed, or there's traffic.
Oh, I've got a story about that.
Did you miss a plane?
Yeah, Friday.
What happened? Oh, jeez.
Couldn't believe it. But just, sorry, you can carry on.
No. So he just said basically you look at the board and it says flight cancelled. And he said you can at that moment decide, I'm going to let this upset me, spoil my whole day, or I'm going to ignore it. And just decide I'm not allowing stress into my life.
Yeah, because no one's ever stopped you and said, so you're seething about something. Well, here's R100. No one's ever said, you know what, if you stay angry for another 4 hours, you're going to have 10 more friends. Like, it just doesn't work. So I got an email. Okay, I'll be the first to admit, I'm very bad with emails because I get a whole bunch of shit ones I don't want to actually read. People sending me stuff, I get promoted. Everyone gets spammed, right? And I'm just not good. So I'm a bit of a skimmer when it comes to emails. And I got these emails saying, your flight has changed from this time to that time. So a scheduling thing, nothing ridiculous. Mm. So the flight said 2:35. So then in my mind, I was working back from 2:35 for the next 3 days. I need to do this, this, and that.
Right.
I need to get airport by this time. But stupid me, this was my return flight for Sunday, which they told me about.
Oh, no.
So there I am, la, 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 I get to the airport. And I go, seems my flight's been in the air for about half an hour already.
So I
could kick my bag, run around the airport in a mad rage, or just
suck it up,
go to the desk, admit you're an idiot, and see where you can go from there.
So you are living the whole stress is a decision thing.
But the thing is, our default reaction is stress, because I think also when we're children, we get attention when we act out and we get angry, and it won't work if you're upset. Everyone's like, oh, shame, what's wrong? So
I think to a certain extent, yes, but it's also because we're just emotional.
That too. That's
but you have to realize that as...
Nobody else cares about your feelings.
But as
nobody,
these...
Especially the poor woman behind the counter.
who's dealing with many other people.
Yeah, and she's not interested in your temper tantrum. Like, she's got a job to do, and if you behave badly, she's going to do that job for you a whole lot worse.
Mm.
People, I see people abusing staff, and I'm like, what the hell are you thinking is going to happen here? Do you really think the more angry you are, the likelier you are to get what you want from these people? They've got a job. They don't care about you. And if you behave like a douchebag, they are going to find every excuse to make it hard for you.
Well, a lot of people have a false sense of importance.
Yeah.
You know, they walk into a room and they believe that, well, I am far more important than you.
Sort out my problems.
Because someone said the customer is always right, which is stupid. The customer always pays. That is the only plus of customers.
Exactly.
Otherwise, they're mostly dickheads, let's be honest.
And quite frankly, the customer just needs to take a chill pill a lot of the times. Customers, a lot of the time, just behave badly because they know that they can.
Yeah.
It's not because you are having such a terrible time.
Yeah.
But what you also never forget as a human, you are your happiest when you are happy. I know that sounds very simplistic.
Ben, look at you this morning.
Yeah, but you look around, you go, so you don't
want to... explain that, because it sounds like a platitude.
No, but it's bloody simple. We forget the simplest things in life. This is what makes us truly stupid individuals, most of us, is that you want to be happy in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you buy a nice car. That's why you work for money. That's why you eat things. Because everything we do is for happiness. So why do you wallow in being unhappy?
Oh, I get it. So one day when you're old and you're lying on your deathbed and you've got pain all over the place and you just can't wait to die, You're going to look back on your worst day in your 20s or 30s or 40s and you're going to think, God, I'd love to have that day back.
Yeah, sure.
But in that moment, you're like, I'm going to get so cross with this woman behind the counter.
CSS.
Did you have to buy a new ticket?
Actually, really great what happened. They just made me pay a cancellation fee or something.
Yeah. Oh, so they helped you up. They made a plan.
I had to pay 800 Rand.
Okay.
Which isn't as bad as I thought, I got to buy a new ticket. Because that really would have taken the jam out of my donut for a bit longer than it needed to. I mean, it would have.
I'm not donut. Okay.
But to Sia's point, I'm being oversimplistic here. To Sia's point, we are emotional. We all react in a certain way because we feel like anger is a part of who we are. But for how long must you have it? Because it doesn't actually make you...
Well, at the end of the day, we are smart creatures. And so, operative term being smart, we should use our...
Mabali disagrees. No, we're not.
We should be able to use our brain in situations to say, okay, there's no need to be ruled by emotion here. That's what sets us apart to basic other mammals.
Well, there we go. And I think that that's exactly the point. And don't forget, ever, no matter how cross you are, this should be in the front of... Even if you... write it down on a piece of paper or you put it on your screensaver on your phone. Nobody else cares about your feelings. They don't. Especially not people who you're not related to or people you're not in relationships with. All they do is they see a child acting out.
Look, that is not the mantra Deepak Chopra gave to me this morning.
What did he give you?
Oh, he gives me different things on
you
different
days. You have an
days.
App or something?
Oh, yeah.
Deepak Chopra.
It's the 21-day course. Really? Meditation course.
What did he tell you today?
Don't tell me I'm crazy.
Let me hear it.
Was that it? Don't tell me I'm crazy.
No, you guys are always judging me.
This guy's really scraping the bottom of the barrel nowadays.
We should not care what we think at all.
Okay.
What does Deepak tell you this morning, Sia?
Getting out of the hunger dilemma. It's a whole... essay around it, so it's a daily reading, and then the centering thought is, I am the source of my own inner healing. Let's chant on that, ladies and gentlemen, this morning. Of my own inner healing. Because he says, when you are in a fix, often the fix is in you.
Okay, all right.
No, he's nailed it. Wow. No, he I was in the fence, but he really brought it home again.
Stop it. This is how I start my day, okay? Thank you.
Okay.
It's a 21-day course. You'll be good.
Just before we get into all the news, Greg says Gareth was a master debater at school. I have a friend that actually forgot that she was sober. I went to her house at 7 in the morning. She offered me coffee, and she had two beers while I had my coffee. Ooh. Her partner says that that is what she does, and she should just top up her alcohol level. That's incredible. Ooh. Yo, some people are monsters. They really, yeah, some people can handle, huh?
Jeez, beer's a bit intense for the morning.
Have problems.
I'm telling you. I'm listening on my phone loudspeakers. My girlfriend, Christy the Grinch von Sale, is complaining about the noise in the morning, talking about how she needs silence in the morning. And I'm listening to you guys.
It's a very unique Afrikaans middle name, that.
Yeah.
The Grinch.
The Grinch. So I turned up the volume, says Tabiso. Oh, oh wow. Tabiso's with Christy? Okay, that's interesting.
Oh.
Tell her.
Don't go down that road, please.
Right. No, I like that. So, all right, Christy, calm the hell down. And Tabiso, thank you. Keep turning it up. All right, let's get into some news. Over to you, Mubs. What do you got for us today?
Well, the new dispensation in Harare needs the buy-in and investment of millions of Zimbabweans who left the country and settled elsewhere. And that is why there is a call by the Zim government on citizens to return home. Come back home.
I know loads of people in this country who are from Zim. They don't want to go. They're like, nah, I think I've tested it out here. I like it more.
Well, the Zimbabwe Consul General, Henry Mukonoeshero. I did it.
Yeah, well done. That's good.
Wow, that's a hell of a name.
That's pronunciation of the year so far. Cut that out.
I got skills. he was addressing the Zimbabwe Achievers Award ceremony in Johannesburg over the weekend, and he's appealed to Zimbabweans who are based in South Africa to seriously consider moving back and investing in their motherland, especially now that they are led by a new president, Emmerson Mnangagwa.
Right.
Yes, see, I mentioned this earlier. Prison Break, and no, it's not the Michael Schofield type. Yes, 16 prisoners escaped from Sun City Prison, which is also known as Johannesburg Correctional Center. I didn't know this.
Well, that's the official name. Sun City is a dead name.
Yeah, we call it Sun City.
Stop it. Okay.
And I always get confused because then I think, are they talking about Sun City the prison or Sun City the resort? Because there's a world of difference.
I'm pretty sure you don't have tons of murderers and rapists running around Sun City Resort.
You never know.
Soaking up the sun.
This was confirmed by the Department of Correctional Services yesterday. The inmates broke through a window, barricades, and a wall before getting through the fence. And as a result, the department has launched a manhunt for the inmates. Wow. There will never be an escape quite as unbelievable as the one by Ananias Matene.
Yo, he was the guy who put on, he smeared himself full of Vaseline and he squeezed between the, bars.
Nobody thought unwise, like, oh, he's been buying Vaseline for 2 months.
Yeah. Jeepers, he stockpiling.
He must be getting, you know, a lot.
Speaking of prisoners, the former Paralympian Oscar Pistorius' bid to appeal his 13-year murder sentence was dismissed by the Constitutional Court yesterday. Yes, Oscar,
well, he's only just started
in the news. So in November, the Supreme Court of Appeal extended his sentence from 6 to 13 years for the murder of Reeva Steenkamp. He was originally convicted of culpable homicide back in 2014 by Judge Thokozile Masipa. That conviction was upgraded to murder in 2015. And then the NPA appealed the High Court sentence, arguing that six years was shockingly lenient.
Shockingly inappropriate. Isn't that what Gerinel used to say? Something like that.
Shockingly inappropriate for what's happened in this matter. Shockingly inappropriate.
Yeah, all right, Gerry, calm down.
So they took it up from 6 to 13, and then obviously Oscar was not going to have any of that, but then yesterday the Constitutional Court said, no, your bid to appeal this 13-year sentence is being dismissed.
Listen, how long has he been in?
Well, okay, let's see. He was convicted in 2014. When was he sentenced?
I think it was only...
When did he actually start doing jail time?
End of 2016, maybe?
Yeah, probably. So, 2 years?
Yeah, so listen, it goes by, huh? Think of what you've done in 2 years while you've been out of prison.
Yeah, I think...
Whoa!
So yeah, what have you been doing for the last...
Where did that slap off perspective come
from? What have you been
from?
Doing for the last 2 years since you've been out of prison?
Oh, jeez, just inhaling in and out. Fuck. Inhaling and exhaling. I could have very well been in prison.
So he wanted to get out early, huh?
Well, yeah. You know, he wanted to appeal the decision, but seemingly they're not prepared to entertain him.
Him and Ujekop, they just don't get it. When the court says something, suck it up.
Yeah, I don't think the two of them particularly understand that very well. I think they think that the court system is there to work for them, further their interests.
Like, it's murder. Like, she's very much dead and has been for a while. So, what are you really appealing?
Yeah. I wonder what he's doing every day. What would you do if you got sentenced to years and years in prison? Like, what would you learn? What
Sudoku.
Would you
I've never got into Sudoku. I would finally do it. That would be my thing. Just never got into it.
Would you want to get a degree? Would you super skill yourself? Would you learn how to machine metals? What would you learn to do?
Well, out of purely having to survive and also just taking up the free time I'd have, I'd definitely just bulk up. Just always work out.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, okay. Just clap the gym,
but... you need some steroids and supplements.
Yeah, I'd hate to break it to you, but I don't think you'd be given the chance to bulk up. I don't think
so it's not
prison.
Like
I don't
those American prison, movies no, where think, all the prisoners are glistening and
I don't
sweat.
Think you would get the chance to sign up for weight activities in prison.
I'm just saying those
I think
bad boys.
I think you would serve a different role.
Also, I don't think people glistening in sweat, like, that's not really prison vibes. It's more like dodge a knife.
Shank. Like,
about that.
They
okay.
don't glisten in prison.
I don't think there's a sweat towel and an apple when you leave.
It's a very dangerous place.
As these guys from Sun City will tell you when they come to visit you this afternoon.
I'm telling you, if 16 managed to escape, I'm pretty certain there were more who were part of the plan and, like, stopped in the process or couldn't make it out of the little hole in the wall or whatever the case is. I wonder how many there were in total. I'd say at least 40 guys.
Thumb suck.
At least okay. 40.
And then only 16 made it out.
Jeez. All right, anything else?
Yes, I suppose. Look, for a lot of people, it would have been a case of them getting to see the Lizard King kind of grovel a little bit. And
Mark this Zuckerberg.
This is kind of sort of what happened yesterday in his written statement. He said he's sorry. What?
Oh.
Yeah, he told Congress in a written testimony, which was released yesterday.
He must have nowhere else to go if he's saying sorry.
He said that the social media network did not do enough to prevent misuse of data, and he has therefore apologized. I think he also said something about how all the people whose data was hacked are going to be notified in some other kind of link on Facebook. Apparently 60,000 South Africans were affected in that data breach, and millions of other Americans. And he apologized yesterday. So today and tomorrow, he's going to be answering questions about Facebook's admission that the personal information of those 87 million users may have been improperly shared with political consultancy Cambridge Analytica.
Okay, I'm going to be the voice of the people here.
Well,
when people as rich as Lizard Boy over there and his company says sorry, as normal people go, yeah, whatever. You say sorry with money. That's what you do. You say sorry with money when you've done this. And that's the only way the people who I represent in this moment are going to care about your sorry.
Ben is suddenly the advocate for the people.
I am. Every now and again, I tap into this. But
I mean, what do you want him...
Millions to rain just out. I want him to share money like we used to share pokes back in the day when Facebook was still legit. And only then will people eventually accept this apology. Because right now, they print money on a daily basis.
Mm.
And the whole thing about, you think he was giving our details away for free, for giggles? No, it was part of his business plan.
Come on, open it up. Oh.
Here's Zuckerberg walking into Congress. It's hilarious. Security all around.
Is there any regulation you're not
I mean, did this spin far out of control than you thought, Mr.
Zuckerberg? He still looks like a kid, though. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
He's like a kid. And they tried to ask him questions and he just said no comment. Anyway, I mean, let's see what happens. So he said sorry.
In a statement. In a written statement.
Okay.
Yeah, it just came out of his mouth. He didn't push his forked tongue out and then go, I'm very sorry. That's not what happened. A written statement by some intern.
Oh yeah, Ben for the people.
Yeah, for sure. I'm all for it. Okay, cost of Bitcoin at the moment, $6,755.32. Ethereum trading at $399.25, and Ripple's $0.43. So that's 43 cents. What a waste! What a dumb. That was at three once. Is it $3 once? Jesus. All right, let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport, because people have been hankering after yesterday when Ben wasn't here. So let's go, Ben. Don't mess around. Straight to the point.
Commonwealth Games in the Gold Coast of Australia. Well, where do we start?
We spoke about that transgender girl who's doing the weightlifting.
Laurel.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Sorry, well, I had something in my throat.
It's a good story, but South Africa finishing one and two in the men's 100 is a slightly better story.
Okay.
I will take a preference on this one. Akani Simbini, we all know he's a superstar. He won gold yesterday.
Nice.
And then Enrico Banges, he came second. Now, Enrico's been hot and cold in the last few years. Tremendous talent. He was the ex-SA champion. And people thought maybe he's gone off the rails, but there he was. And we'll get to Akani in a second, but Enrico's speech was just so nice after the race. He said, look, I knew that if I could stick with a superstar like Akani, he would run out, and I could just catch on to him. I might be able to get into the medals. This guy knows exactly where he is in his career. He gave his all. He wasn't one of those kind of people who are insecure about the talents and then just get all arrogant and shouty like rap culture makes us want to be. So he just stuck to his game plan. He was so happy for his friend afterwards. To see SA 1 and 2, the South African flag over these guys, what a fantastic moment this was. It was at 2:15 yesterday, so not a lot of people at work, and maybe some people missed it. But just try find, it'll be on YouTube, it'll be on Supersport. Try find a replay of this race. Just so great. They were next to each other, lane 7 and 8. Johan Blake, who obviously was meant to take over from Usain Bolt back in the years, well, he was the bronze medalist. He said he stumbled, he was all over the place, but even if he ran well, he wasn't going to beat Akani yesterday. 10.03. That's a proper win.
Not bad.
It really is. Proper win. And to think, we're now going to the 4x100 meters. You've got those two guys. You've got Clarence Munya and then Anasa Jobbedwana. People are really starting to say, although we do get ahead of ourselves slightly, that SA could become the new Jamaica in sprinting. Just look at the talent that's there. These guys are all
terrific.
Young. There's so much talent coming through, and I love talking about these guys, and I give them all the press they need. But this is a fantastic effort. One and two. This is the first time in 110 years that a South African sprinter has held a major sprinting title. When I say that, I mean, of course, Olympics, Commonwealth Games, World Championships. Because the Commonwealth Games, even though I know it doesn't have some of the world powers, there's still more than enough talent here. So when you win gold here, it means a big deal. Case in point, the swimming. Australia are swimming, Great Britain are swimming. We all saw in the Olympics, these guys are all amazing. Take away the Americans only, so be it. But Cameron Finneberg yesterday beat Adam Peaty. Now, Adam Peaty has become like the doyen of breaststroke. I mean, no one does it like him. And Cameron came out, 50-meter breaststroke final, and he beat Adam Peaty yesterday. That is
nice.
A huge result. Because everyone thinks, like, you know, Cameron Finneberg's past his prime. He's easing into the next stage of his career, blah, blah, blah. But he says he's got a renewed love for swimming. And to come out and win gold in this is a huge, huge event.
That's fantastic.
It's really, really. This is, like, such good news. Tatjana Schoenmaker.
Who's she?
I got that right. She is a South African swimmer. People are also saying he's a bit of a superstar. So she won the women's 100-meter breaststroke final yesterday. So another gold medal. And then Chad Leclerc, who's kind of becoming the Michael Phelps of the Commonwealth Games, full sweep on the butterfly. He butterflied everything this Commonwealth Games. So yesterday won the men's 100-meter butterfly
final.
All
right.
So medals are raining in. And good on the team. Just think what's possible for all these athletes. If those fat sports administrators step aside, do not have the whole buffet in more ways than one. So much can happen here. Very, very exciting. But speaking of sport administrators, that absolute fat mess, Tielo Wakefield.
Who's that?
He's this horrible ham beast of a human who's presided over Western Province going into bankruptcy. The storm is basically going from bad to worse. And he has... He's a nice word. He has the audacity to now bring in Robbie Fleck and Gert Smal to discuss the woeful team performances of late. Sure, the Stormers took a dicking to the Lions over the weekend, 52-31. And it was a pretty dumb performance from them. It just stank of immaturity. It really did. Now, these guys always have their injury problems, which shouldn't be an excuse every single year, and I'll agree with Tiller for that aspect. But this guy is like, talk about living in a glass toilet. I mean, he just... So they've got major money issues with the Pro Rugby Union, right? So what happens when the Stormers go overseas to go play the matches? This fat mess goes there, no doubt on business class. For what? Is he holding tackle bags? Is he giving inspirational speech? No, he's eating. It's all he's doing. So why is that money being wasted?
See what he looks like. You, how do you spell that name?
T-H-E-L-O, Wakefield.
L.O. Wakefield, all right.
And this is the problem with a lot of rugby administrators. We saw it in the Bulls too, is that things go bad and then some massive ham beast who's just been drinking with the right people for the last 20 years is in charge. No business acumen, absolutely no sporting credentials whatsoever.
Oh my God, he's old as well with a horrible little moustache. And he is a ham beast. He does look like Jabba the Hutt.
This guy's so dodgy that Sari doesn't even want him in the ranks.
Okay.
So... he has been a major factor for Western. And again, I'm not saying that Robbie Fleck and Kurt Small are in the clear here and this team is, you know, without fault. But this guy, wanting answers, and suddenly he wants to crack the whip over something, he's the most slack, dreadful administrator going. I don't even think Sascock would want this guy. That's saying something.
That's incredible. What a horrible thing to... if Sascock won't touch you, sure.
Yeah, so Robbie Fleck really is in the firing line here and sharing room with this guy. Firstly, no cookies left in that tray. Yeah, you go into meetings, there's five or six. Done. You want to have a bit of a nibble and a cookie while you gather your thoughts? No. Sucking air, Robbie. Better enjoy it. We'll get some more rugby, of course, as the week goes on. But Israel Folau, as we know, is a known homophobe. But he says his religious views are what gives him the strength and the motivation to talk about gays. So the rugby bosses of Australia brought him into the office and basically said, look, Israel, you can't be a homophobe. The sponsors don't like it. It's not what we're trying to put out here. And the kids don't need to hear this. And he's like, well, you know, freedom of speech. And to this, I will always defend someone like Israel Folau for freedom of speech, not because of his views, because he's allowed to say this kind of stuff. Are Qantas, the sponsors, really, I mean... guys, come on, you sponsor rugby, you're going to get a couple of fruitcakes. If these guys aren't beating up their wives or just trying to pick up underage girls in clubs, you are sponsoring rugby players. You're not sponsoring social workers here. This is the thing. You're going to have to roll the dice a bit. And Israel homophobia is part and parcel of what you're getting into. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news. So Israel will stand firm in this whole freedom of speech thing. But with it being Australia, he'll no doubt be, I don't know, conned into just being a bit nicer for the sake of living in that nanny state.
Is that what they'll say to him?
Yeah, probably. They might just throw back in the fact that he's got Polynesian roots or something. He can always be tossed out there.
Yeah, his actual words, see if this upsets you. He says, gay people will go to hell unless they repent.
Oh.
You know, hell...
nope. He's like Angus Buckins kind of guy.
Okay.
I reckon hell is a lot more fun than heaven.
Totally agree.
That's where the party's going down. That's where everyone's snorting
cocaine. Especially if the gays are going there. Are you kidding?
Having orgies.
Well, if the gays are going there, hell's going to look a whole lot better than heaven. I mean, who's doing the interiors for heaven? Angus. Guys like Israel Folau.
Yeah. You want to hang on with Angus Buckin in heaven? Oh, no, I wouldn't want hell any day.
I wouldn't want to hang around with him on earth.
Exactly. So, sorry, one more sad rugby story. The people in Wales, they can't hold their booze properly. So they actually have to trial out, because when they're... so the Box are playing Wales in November. That was confirmed yesterday. Now, when you go play a test match in Wales, you go play at the Principality Stadium, which is the big one with the big roof. And it's great because, you know, obviously everyone in Wales is in the choir, so the songs are really great. But apparently a lot of them can't hold their piss, and they've now going to trial an alcohol-free area. So there's two schools of thought here. Firstly, dreadful. You shouldn't be an adult to be told where you can and cannot drink. But at the same time, stadium... and the live experience is something that needs to be protected, needs to be cherished, it needs to be built on. So if you don't like going and having some guy who thinks he's Tom Jones with his chest hair all over you pouring beer on you, then that's great. You can have a stand for yourself. If you're on a bachelor party, whatever, you can go to a more rowdy stand. I know when I went to the Cape Town Sevens, I sat in the actual party stand. And yeah, it was pretty rough in places, but people were there to party, get absolutely hammered, and lose themselves in the moment. So maybe that is what we're looking forward to now, tiered stadium experiences. Go to the place where you can't drink and not have a beer spilt on you. I don't know.
Some people like that.
Pro choice, that's fine. But unfortunately, a disabled fan was the subject of a tirade of abuse last year. And the disabled person, actually, she said, look, I'm the first one to have a beer and I'm not anti-alcohol. But when this guy was pouring beer over me, and saying horrible things, I drew the line.
Sure.
Which is fair.
Who wouldn't want to draw the line somewhere?
So, yeah. I mean, look, it's all about balance. So, if you're going to go watch The Box in Wales this November, just be careful which stand you're going to sit in, because there's going to be a stand where you cannot drink.
Ben's talking about you if you're an over-drinker.
And also, when you drink, remember, you're not that special. You're just you, but drunk. You're not suddenly a superhero. Tonight, big football. It is Liverpool versus Man City. Hopefully no one's bus will get trashed this time, but Liverpool are going away, so I think their fans will be slightly more better behaved. Less of them, anyway. So that'll be at the Etihad Stadium. 8:45 tonight. Man City need 4 goals. It's quite simple, really. Or they need 3 and they can go to extra time or whatever. But they're looking for 4 goals. They're looking to beat them 4-0. Because Liverpool were 3-0 up after that first leg. So if there was ever a team that was going to concede those amount of goals, it would be Liverpool. And if there's ever a team that's going to score them, it would be Man City. So this is the perfect clash. If you're a neutral, it's just incredible. It really is. And Mohamed Salah, he might not be there for Liverpool. He is their star player. He's the first person that Jurgen Klopp wants to hug after every match. So this is going to be very interesting. Elsewhere, Roma will be hosting Barcelona, but they're on a 4-1 deficit there for Roma, so unfortunately it looks like they're going to go out tonight as well. That is pretty much it for the sport, all we've got time for, but more coming tomorrow on our midweek special.
Terrific. Thank you, Ben. Let's check in with Sia in Sid by Sia this morning.
I love this story. One American teenager has taken what her bullies used to say to her and has now changed that and made that a movement. She was often left bullied while at school, and so she often heard the "you can't sit with us" thing thrown around all the time, you know, in class when it was time for group activities and your stomach dropped a bit because you knew, like, oh well, like, if I'm not the most popular, exactly, all of that, and even during breaks as well at her school. And so now she decided, after being bullied as well, even she cites that in one particular bad incident there was a girl who actually, this is actually scary for a girl still in school, propped scissors right at her throat and said, "Oh, just can't wait to slice your throat with this." It was a bit drastic, I know. So she wants to do something about this. And as a teenager, she started just at her school saying, "Screw it, I'm done with being objectified in this way. If you are lonely, if you just want to chill with someone, if you just want to chat to someone, how about we get to be together during our breaks?" And so that is how the movement slowly began at her school. It was the Sit With Us campaign, where a little, you know, different loners and people who often felt lonely would band together and would talk. And actually there was even one kid who said, because of, by the way, her name is Natalie, because of Natalie actually calling her and saying, "Listen, you can join me at lunch and we can talk to each other," she overcame suicidal thoughts. So now Natalie Hampton has even officially created an app. It's called Sit With Us, which basically you go on and you log on and you're able to register wherever you are at your school, and you are an ambassador to say that you want to stand up against bullying and you want to basically call on people who are feeling alone and you want to chat with them. So look all at right. that, changing something like
Sit With Us,
the Sit With Us app. And so far it has garnered over 100,000 users across 8 countries, and it even won the 2017 Appy Award for excellent non-profit app. Natalie has now gone on all over the world talking at the likes of TEDxTeen in London and the Say No to Bullying conference as well, and she's even been recently awarded as one of People magazine's 25 women who are changing the world. She just says, as a teenager, she's hoping, as simple as it is, imagine if all the cool kids in school were ambassadors for Sit With Us and changing the way we're looked at.
Oh, but you know what'll happen then? If the cool kids become ambassadors, then they'll keep out the other kids.
Oh no.
Oh yes. That's,
oh, I didn't think
happens.
Of it in that way. Yeah. Oh, Natalie, let's talk. Let's change all of this bullying. I like this, okay?
All
just
right.
keep on calling lonely kids over at your table during lunch for you to sit with them.
Anushka says, "Cancel everything about the show. We only want Sia. Sia for the new world order leader."
Aye.
Oh.
That's drastic, but thank you.
Someone else saying, "Do you know now why Facebook is not allowed in Russia, China, and North Korea?" Do you see?
Well, yeah, North Korea don't want the internet, so that's one.
Oh, they're probably looking at us like, told you so.
I'm pretty sure China have their own version of a Facebook.
Yeah, they do.
So, same story, different cast.
Carl says, true. "Please explain to Ben that doyen refers to exceptional women."
Is it?
Yeah.
But Richie Benner was always called the doyen of cricket.
Was he secretly a woman?
Well. Was he an exceptional woman?
If we go by...
Carl, I'm not sure you're right.
Yeah, if we go by the Googler, the definition is the most respected or prominent person in a particular field.
Oh, you see? Ben is right. Sorry.
Take that, Carl.
Beg for forgiveness, Carl. And then Sean says, every time you mention the Lizard King, I keep thinking it's somehow Jim Morrison has made the news again after all these years. Yeah, the Doors.
Well, sorry, hang a second. To Carl's defense, got to keep it balanced. When you type in doyen... Google does say the most respected or prominent woman in a particular field. But I don't agree. I've used...
You don't agree.
No, that's obviously where he's got it from. He's put it into Google. But I've heard doyen used for males many, many times.
No.
Hey, today is the 25th anniversary of the assassination of Chris Hani, which they're going to commemorate in different parts of the country. Bladen Zimande, who's the General Secretary of the SACP and other alliance partners from ANC, COSATU, and SANCO will address the main commemoration events. Lucky them, they get to hear Bladen Zimande.
Sure.
Bet you they can't wait. And while we're talking about memorials and important events, President Cyril Ramaphosa will today deliver the eulogy at the ANC's main memorial service for Winnie Madikizela-Mandela in her hometown of Bizana in the Eastern Cape. So that's where she was born. I always thought she was born in the Free State. You see, you learn things. She was born in Bizana.
Why did you think she was born in the Free State?
Because there was that whole thing with Brandfort and her going to Brandfort, and I thought that she had family there.
She's probably the doyen of Brandfort. That's probably what swayed you.
That's right, the doyen of Brandfort.
I don't know.
Was that stupid of me?
No, it's not stupid. It's just, you know, back in the day, as a Xhosa individual, she wouldn't have been.
Yeah, she wouldn't have been allowed.
She wouldn't have been born in the Free State.
Yeah, you guys in the Free State kept a lot of people out.
No, we didn't.
You guys. Folks, I shall see you tomorrow.
Oh, Sia's got the Prism Awards today.
Carefully asked, duty call.
Sia is actually judging the Prisms.
Yes, the campaign
Which
of the
Which is nice, because Sia likes to judge.
It's true.
Wow, I really thought you were going on a nice complimentary note.
No, it's exactly what it is.
And then just one other thing while we're talking about Winnie Madikizela-Mandela. Trevor Manuel lambasted Ace Magashule the other day about the Winnie Mandela Museum in Brandfort, which is obviously just a derelict ruin. And there's been money spent. Nobody knows where the money's gone, except Ace Magashule. And today he went out and said... Trevor Manuel, or you didn't mention him by name, you know, you always tell if someone is a little bit cowardly because they don't mention the person they're talking about by name. They say certain leaders are sowing disunity in the ANC. How do you like that? Ace saying that Trevor's sowing disunity. Not that he's corrupt and he's stolen money. He's sowing disunity.
I love the whole, you all hide behind this unity thing. Just to deflect from his crime, which is dodginess.
Yeah, and I don't know how Winnie would feel about Ace Magashule, because we know she was a champion of the poor, if nothing else. Right? So you got to ask yourself, how would she feel if the Estina Dairy Farm guy was leading her memorial? I think she'd be pretty pissed off. Just saying. We know that largely she fell out of love with the ANC leadership at a certain point, and she never really fully regained that love. She was toying and flirting with the EFF for a while. And, of course, she was ANC through and through. That was part of her DNA. But I wonder how she felt about people like Ace Magashule deep down inside. I don't think she ever made overtures to give him any credit along the way. Who knows? All right, when we come back, we'll hit some news. We'll take your calls. We've got Ewan Gunn, who is from Diageo Scotch Whiskies. Talked to him about that launch of Hague that we did the other day. David Beckham's whiskey. And then we'll take your calls, your thoughts, your WhatsApps. You know what to do. 079-748-2090. And a little bit later on, Kagiso Medupe. That's all coming up.
This is CliffCentral.com.